Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 to 8. Deuteronomy 7, 6 to 8. For thou art... Amen. Wow, you are an holy people unto the Lord, and the Lord thy God has chosen you to be a special people unto himself. Hallelujah. Today I want you to know that you are special before God. Deuteronomy 14:2, shall read you together. Wow. And finally, 1 Peter 2:9, finally. Ready, go. Hallelujah. So all the scriptures talk about the Jews. And then the Jews are a special people who were chosen by God. And ever since God chose them, we can all see how special God has made them. Hallelujah. God has made them a special group of people. And their wealth, their success are facts written for us. Amen. They are not myths, but they are facts. If you read some of the facts of the wealth of Jews, you will realize that Jews are very, very, very powerful and very rich. Amen. Let me read some facts for you, and then we will go on. The percentage of Jewish households with income greater than $50,000 is double of that of non-Jews. Do you get it? So it's a fact. Amen. The percentage of Jewish income less than $20,000 is half that of non-Jews. It's a fact. 45% of the top 40% of Forbes, you know Forbes. Forbes magazine always comes out with the richest people on earth at certain times. Amen. And one of these days, may your name appear. May your business appear. 45% of the top 40 of Forbes richest Americans are Jewish. I'm not reading the Bible. I'm reading facts and research. 1/3 of American multimillionaires, 1/3 of American multimillionaires are tallied as Jewish. 1/3. Amen. Hey. 20% of professors at leading universities are Jewish. 20% of professors. And these Jewish people they are not even 1% of a tenth of the population of the world. And yet, 20% of professors at leading universities are Jewish. 40% of partners in the leading law firms in New York and Washington are Jewish. Then 30% of American Nobel Prize winners in science, and 25% of all American Nobel winners are Jewish. Dr. Thomas Sowell, an African-American economist and senior fellow at the Hoover Institute, created a point scale index that graphed Jewish economic success compared with other ethnic groups. Now, using the U.S. average of 100, Jewish people are 172 points. 172. And these are less than 1% of the 10% of the population of the world. And the country is a small nation. How many have been to Israel before? Oh, one of these days you should be there. I see you going there. So, Jewish are 172 points. Japanese are 132. Polish, 115. Chinese, 112. That's of those living there. Italian are 112. German, 107. Anglo-Saxon, 107. Irish, 103. Filipino, 99. West Indian, 94. Mexican, 76. Puerto Rican, 63. Black, 32. And then Native American, 60. So you see that blacks are way, way, way down there. But the Jews are always excelling and blessed wherever they found themselves. Amen. Now, what do you think has accounted for this? That the Jews are always successful wherever they find themselves. Do you get it? Now, the first reason, as you have read, is that they are a people that God has chosen for himself. Throughout the Old Testament, when God wanted to rule in the affairs of men, he needed that people would know that he is God. And for him to show that he is God, he had to take a group of people from among the people to be their Lord and their God. So, by the grace of God, that is why the psalmist says that God didn't choose them because of their number or because of anything. It just happened that God used them and chose them. Hallelujah. Because if God wanted to use any people to show himself strong, he rather should have gone for people who were many. But he went for this tiny nation, to show himself strong. And throughout the Bible, he chose them from among everyone and put his name on them. And he made the whole world know that if I choose people and I rule over them, I make them different from other people. Their lives are different. Their rules are different. Everything is different. Hallelujah. He chose them. And he even sometimes suspended the laws of nature just to show that he made the world and he had chosen these people. So at one time, Israel was going somewhere and they met the Red Sea. And what did God do? He suspended the laws of nature. They didn't have ships, they didn't have anything. And he parted the Red Sea and they walked on dry ground. And then others wanted to go. But because their God was not the God of the Israelites, Their God was not the God of this special people. The waters came back and they perished. Another time they were fighting and they needed to defeat their enemy, but it was getting late. It was getting late. And even the fighting they were fighting, they had some unfair spiritual advantages. And may God give you unfair, if you like, spiritual advantage over your enemies in the name of Jesus. You are not the same as those whose God are not your God. You are not the same. So that if you are working the same office with those whose God are not your God, they should see you as a different person. You are not the same. If they are doing assessment and anybody had any bad mind about you, when the person puts pen onto paper, the person's mind and everything will change. By the time person will realize he or she has written recommended for promotion. So when they were fighting and it was getting dark, and you know how they were winning the fight, Moses was somewhere and he has raised his hand like that, and Aaron and Hur were holding his hand. Anytime his hands will go down, then they will be losing the battle. And when his hands go up, they will be winning the battle. May my hand go up for you to win your battles in the name of Jesus. That is why your pastor's prayers are very important. If I were you, I will make my pastor very comfortable so that he can always have time to pray for me. Because when you are fighting, when you are standing at the interview, and your pastor is in his room, not watching television, not listening to radio, but praying in tongues for you, then you'll be winning the battle. So at a point, they even set stones and they put his hand on it, and they won. They defeated their enemy. And then the sun was going down. Then they said, Lord, we are your people. We don't walk by the rules of natural justice and natural normal things. So suspend nature for us. So because they were his people, that day, the sun stood still. There was no darkness. The sun stood still in the valley of Aijalon. And they finished defeating their people. And God restored nature. I say, because of you, some natural principles will be suspended so that you go through in the name of Jesus. Why did God do all these things? Why did he do? Because they were a special people unto himself. You see now, they were a special people unto himself. Amen. Now, do you know that you're also a special group? Or can I say you're also a special people unto God? Yeah. God, we are what? A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A peculiar people. Who God has called out of darkness into his marvelous light. That we should show for the praises of him. We are a peculiar people. We are like the Israel that God chose. We are the same. We are the same. Do you get it? So that we should have influence. We should have influence over whatever we are doing and wherever we are. Since you got saved, nobody has noticed you. Even your small family of five, they haven't seen any difference. How much more your workplace? But today, we want to copy this nation called Israel, these Jews, and see what they did that we will also copy. Don't you forget that Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to make it deeper and spiritual. Amen. Now you notice that one of the foundational reasons why these people are special and what makes them special is their religious background. You get it? The foundation of your religious beliefs, which is based on commandments that God gave to them. And as long as they did it, God also made them his people. God also made them his people. So because of that, they have certain ideas and certain beliefs. They have certain ideas and certain beliefs that makes them wealthy. Do you get it? That makes them wealthy. Let me just read. This morning I told the church about the different ways that Jews see money and Christians see money. One of the things you see is that Christians are a little bit ambivalent when it comes to money. We have some kind of doubt, contradictory opinions about money because of certain verses in the Bible which we read, which they also know. Do you get it? But it doesn't affect them because of their foundation. For instance, for us Christians, we quote scripture like, you cannot serve God and mammon. Is that not so? To mean that we don't have to go after wealth. Is that not so? So these things confuse us. But for the Jew, their understanding about money is that the first Jews were not poor. And that it was a good thing. You get it? Maybe we need to renew our minds. Because our forefathers were poor. They were not even wearing dresses, wearing all those things. So maybe, but as far as they were concerned, they may have had some forefathers before they were chosen. But from the day they were chosen, and whoever led that nation, they realized that they were not poor. So they had a certain mind that poverty is not of God. That is Jews. I'm talking about Jewish beliefs. I'm not preaching something I think. I'm talking about written Jewish beliefs. Do you get it? So to them, wealth is a good thing. A worthy and a respectable goal to strive for. If today, Pastor Leslie comes to you and tells you that my main aim is to make money, what would you tell him? He said he's not spiritual. He's not a serious Christian. He has backslidden. But for the Jew, that is not a problem for him at all. Because that is his aim. Do you get it? That is his aim. And that they have never considered poverty as a virtue. You see, for us Christians, sometimes to be poor means to be spiritual. You get it? We equate poverty to spirituality. So the poorer you are, the more spiritual you are. And the richer you are, the less spiritual you are. Do you get it? So even if we start here, somebody came with a very nice car and has a lot of money and comes to sit here, you will think that the person is not spiritual. And will look at the person in a certain way. Do you get it? But the Jew doesn't think like that at all. And as far as they are concerned, their father Abraham was rich. Their father Isaac was rich. Their father Jacob was rich. Simple. According to Jewish belief system, with your financial house in order, it is easier to pursue your spiritual life. Yeah. So you think they're also not thinking about spiritual things too. But they feel that if you're able to put your financial house in order, you can pursue your spiritual life properly. Do you get it? Money is the root of all evil. Do you get it? They are not looking at it like that. They are not thinking to do evil. They are thinking to do spiritual things. Do you get it? So that's how they see money. Amen. That's how they see money. So Jews have 8 levels or stages of giving. What am I doing? I'm just teaching you to copy. These people that by the grace of God, we have become like the spiritual Israel. And if I become like spiritual Israel, that doesn't mean that the laws are no longer working. By the grace of God, we were not part. But God brought us as Gentiles to be part of this special people. If you thought that God has forgotten about Israel, look at what is happening to them now. You cannot do well without supporting Israel. And even Trump has visited Israel. He hasn't come to Ghana. So they are powerful people. You see, the Jews, they have levels of giving. You see, they have levels of giving. And then, what are the levels of giving? One, the person gives reluctantly. That's level one, that's the basic level. You give reluctantly. So when you come to church, for instance, as I'm talking about tithing, you're already angry. And then when we say, let's give our offerings, you give reluctantly. You are the base level. Do you get it? This special people, when they see you, they realize you are not marked for riches. The second stage, the person gives graciously, but less than his means or her means. You give graciously, but then you give less than your means. That's the second lowest level. Level three, the person gives the proper amount, but only after being asked. As you are sitting, you have the money in your pocket. You get it, and you can give 200 Ghana cedis. But you only give it when I say 2,000, 3,000 before you give. You can buy 2,000 chairs, but you not do it until you are asked to do it. It is a kind of giving, but it is also not at a certain higher level of giving. Amen. Stage four. The person gives before being asked. Hey, may you be the person who gives before being asked in Jesus' name. The person gives before being asked. Then stage five. The person gives without knowledge of the recipient, but the recipient knows the donor. That is what is called, if you come to our level, say faith. Because by faith, we say that on earth, men that die receive it, but in heaven, it is received by God. So you don't see, but you believe. If you like, you give and you don't know the recipient. Do you get it? Stage what now? Six. The person gives without making his or her own identity known. That you give and no one knows who gave it. Like, maybe you close from service, you go and count the offering, and we see $10,000 in it, and we don't know who gave it. Because you have given. But you, if you give 10,000 in this church, everybody should know about it. We cannot even sleep. We cannot sleep in this church that we keep. Amen. Then stage eight, the person helps another by enabling that person to become self-sufficient through a gift or loan, or helping him gain or find employment. Seven, I didn't say seven. The person gives without knowledge, knowing the recipient, and without making his identity known. That's seven. And this one, you give by making somebody self-sufficient. Do you get it? You give by making a person self-sufficient. That is how they see giving. A modern rabbi, I'm preaching from this book today. I want you to know that everything is fact. Do you get it? With Bible. And they will follow this peculiar people and be like them. So a modern rabbi, that's a rabbi is a teacher of the laws. of the Jews. Do you get it? And he's teaching on prosperity. This is what he says about prosperity. This is what he says about prosperity. He talks about the mysterious link between giving and prosperity. Do you understand? And then he says that, number one, Jews believe that charitable giving benefits the giver. That when you give, it benefits you. And what does the Bible say? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Is that not so? So when you give, but often when we are going to give, we don't see that we are the ones benefiting. Do you get it? If you have an opportunity to pay somebody's fees, don't think that you are helping the person. Do you get it? You are the one benefiting. Because it's a door for your prosperity. That's how the Jews think. That's how the Jews think. Now, another thing they believe, which this modern rabbi teaches, is that you must not live beyond your means. Instead, you must give beyond your means. Hey! What did I say? Should I say it again? You must not live beyond your means. That means that if you have 200 Ghana cedis, don't go and buy a car that is costing 400 Ghana cedis. You owe money and you'll be in debt. You are living beyond your means. That means if you are a young man and you want to go and get married, don't go and show off to the lady and because of that, go and rent a 3-bedroom flat. Fully air-conditioned and pay $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month. Maybe you earn less than that. You see, don't live beyond your means. You get it? So, don't do that. But give beyond your means. That is a Jewish rabbi. That's how he teaches. That this is what they teach their people. And that's why among the top 10%, the first 1%, they are there. They are there. Hey. You see, they are there. They believe that you must give money not just to do good, but to do well. You must give money not just to do good, but to do well. So you think you are doing good, but you are going to do well. You are going to do better. But when you are giving in church, don't you think that you feel you are giving money to church and all those things? But don't give not just to do good. I'm doing good. But you are going to do well. Amen? Then four, Jews believe that being charitable or giving means making new friends. They believe that when you give, you make new friends. That's why when we come to church, you can make a new friend by giving. Your whole life is based on giving. So you give to make new friends. And some of you give to get beloved. Amen. They believe that donating is like investing. Donating for church to be bought in the church is like investing. It increases what comes back to you. And this rabbi, you can go on Wikipedia, you find him, and go and read his teaching, and know that I'm reading to you fact of a rabbi's teaching. Are you getting what I'm saying? Good. That's why I made it clear that I'm reading from somebody's research. Amen. He said, donating is like investing. It increases what comes back to you. It increases what. So when you are giving for church, when you are giving for anything, what is happening is that it is increasing what is coming about you. Number six, they believe that people are creators, not consumers, and givers, not takers. Hey. Are you here with me? Or go home. You don't like this, is that not so? You like, I see you. Somebody take it. One. Take it. Two. This one is also part of it. This one is also part of it. So listen to it. People are creators, not consumers. Ever since Tete Kwashi brought cocoa, we have been planting cocoa, harvesting cocoa, and we have not done anything to do, create, if you like, anything with the cocoa. It's recently I've been seeing some. Others have come to take the cocoa, and if you go to Switzerland, go and see chocolate. And then we go and get it and consume. That's why we are poor. But they believe that we are supposed to create, not to consume. If you are in church, and all that you do, that you warm the pew, you are in that category. You are a consumer. You don't add anything to the church. You are not a creator. Create something in the church. Because if you let another ministry start, let a branch start. They are givers and not takers. You see, some of you think that the way to help people is by giving them money. You are not blessing them. Because anybody who is always getting, that is not blessed. You have to teach them to give. So often I go and preach in our churches, the villages, I always teach them that if they want to change their situation, they should give. Because sometimes when you are going like that, you will think that, they will think that you have to go and preach something about, you know, faith, and that when you sleep and you wake up, you lift your pillow, your grandmother who is dead would have got to put gold. And then you take it, and then you go and sell it, you are rich overnight. No. It's a principle that God uses. And the people He chose, that is what He made them to do. Amen. The people He chose, that's what He made them to do. The same person to our three Jewish principles that lead to the path of prosperity. How many of you want to prosper? Let me give you these chosen people. Rich, wherever they are powerful. Wherever they are. If you go and attack them today and they say they will fight you, you lie bad. They will fight you. And everybody is afraid of them because of the invisible hand with them. There's a hand, supernatural hand with them. Why is there that supernatural hand? Because of this religious belief that they have, which is still in operation for us Christians, but we should believe it in the spirit and not the letter. We should believe it in the spirit and not the letter. Number one, don't try to find a rational reason for giving away money. They teach that never try to find a rational reason for giving away money. Hey, look, to give, let's say to your church or whatever, if you want to get a reason, you will not give. So to them, it's a habit. If they see any opportunity to give, they will just give. Because they know that they are going to get more. That is how they are. They teach again. Give money away, because it is one of the most powerful and effective ways of increasing your own income. Today I'm talking on. I'm enjoying what I'm preaching. Give money away, because it is one of the most powerful and effective ways of increasing your own income. How many of you want to increase your income? He says, give money away. And for us, the away is even told us. One of the ways is pay your tithe. One of the ways is give your offering. And there are ways to help a brother or a sister. Give money away to increase your income. That's all. Then number three, and I'll give you one testimony and then we'll close. Keep in mind that giving away money is like investing. Giving away money is like investing. And is it not in the Bible that there's he that There's he that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there's he that retaineth and tendeth to poverty. So when you give away, you are investing money. You are investing money. Many times, I try to find people that I can look after them in school. I try to find people that I can look after them in school. Yes, to whatever level. Do you get it? That I can look after them in school. Because as far as I'm concerned, it is not me helping them. It's a way of increasing my income. As far as I'm concerned. You get it? So often, I tell my wife that even if the person is a relative, it is just a blessing to give. It's just a blessing. So I don't mind. And you should also do so. You should also do so. Look for somebody that you can help the person without thinking of anything the person will give you back. You get it? Just thinking of it. Look for somebody and just help the person. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. That is why you may not be able to understand somebody's riches. You may not be able to understand somebody's riches because the person has certain keys. And they don't give because they have more to give. They give because they want to increase their income. So someone, when you hear this like that, oh, so the person is very rich. That's why he's giving. No. The person understands a principle that if you rather want to be rich, give. That's the thing. But you, your mind is that you have to be rich before you give. That's why you are still not rich. Say amen. So let me give you one testimony in the book about a Jewish woman. I'll read it so that you know that I'm reading. I can read, isn't it? Good. And I'm reading from Why Non-Tithing Christians Become Poor and How Tithing Christians Become Rich. He has done a research. It's not his ideas, it's a research he has done, and he has put it in the book. It's just like, why should I go also go and do the research? It's like the Jews, they are rich, and I know what made them rich. Why should I now go and be Abraham? Then God will call my forefather from somebody, and God will tell him, Abraham, pay tithe to Melchizedek, go and kill your son. No. Somebody has done all those things. So all that I need to do is to follow from where I met him and continue. So Hannah Bandes worked as a professional storyteller, using her dramatic skills to excite both children and adults about Jewish history and traditions. To drum up business, she developed a mailing list of synagogues and religious schools to which she sent regular advertising mailings. Listen, her very first paid job was for a local synagogue. A synagogue is where the Jews meet, like their church. So her very first job was the local synagogue. She described it as having been such an embarrassing disaster that she removed that institution's address from her future mailings, knowing that it would never hire her again. She failed there, so she didn't want to do anything with them. Hannah said, the life of an artist can be precarious, and besides telling stories, I did temporary work to make ends meet. Every month I paid my bills, but sometimes it was a real struggle. I knew of the Torah rule about tithing from my earnings, but in my financial position, I didn't see how I could possibly give 10%. Does this sound familiar? How many of you think this one sounds familiar? She knew the Torah that you should give 10%, but because of her financial struggles, it was very difficult, and she couldn't see how she could do that. I rationalized that since I was performing for Jewish charitable organizations, I was giving time instead of money. So she was rationalizing that, well, I'm not giving money, but I'm giving my time. It's the same as money. Who told you that? And some of us rationalize, oh, but at all, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, it's the same. Then one evening, she found herself inspired by a speaker. Like you have been inspired by a speaker. Amen. Are you being inspired by a speaker? I want you to do well. I want you to break through. I want the preaching of the word to be based on something that we can feel. Because we are fond of emotional things. We are fond of emotional things. Let's also sometimes go by facts. Do you get it? Let's not go by facts. So, she found a speaker. One evening, she found herself inspired by a speaker who explained the value of tithing from one's income. And that's what I'm telling you to do. Pay your tithe from your income. On the spot, she decided that she would donate 10% of the fees from her very next storytelling job, which is exactly what she did. So she paid her tithe if you want. He paid her tithe if you want. If she was in a synagogue, she would give it to a synagogue. But if she didn't build a synagogue, she paid her tithe in her own way. A few days later, listen to the testimony. Do you want to hear this testimony? Testimonies are good. They overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Testimonies are good. A few days later, Hannah received a phone call from the synagogue where she had given that first miserable performance. That place that she didn't want to even remember. She didn't want to have anything because she failed woefully. Bible says, I say Bible, the account says that a few days after paying her tithe, she received a call. And listen to what they said. We built a new sanctuary and we'll be dedicating it. Will you tell stories at our dedication? Hey, may you receive a phone call from a certain source. They are believing God for breakthrough. As I told, I'm just reading testimony. Everything I'm reading is documented. Do you get it? Will you tell stories at our dedication? I'm afraid all we can offer you is XXX dollars. So they told her what they were going to offer. The lady on the phone told Hannah, mentioning a fee far higher than she would have asked. That if they have asked her, how much would you charge? What they mentioned. You get it? So sometimes when you go and they say, how much would you want? You wait. Tell us how much you want to pay me. Because for all you know, what you are going to mention is less. And may somebody get a job like that very soon. They will ask you, how much would you want us to pay? But how much have you thought of according to your budget? And what they will say will be more than what you would have told them. Eja over 1,500. You calculate your throttle, your transport. Meanwhile, God is just setting you up to blow your mind. And you are asking, combining throttle from Olako to Kanish, Olako to Kanish, Olako to Kanish, to Bubiashi, Bibiashi, Bibiashi, Olako Kanish, Olako Kanish, Bibiashi, 2 cities, 150, Olako Kanish, Bibiashi, Kanish, 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 first light, Nsa. New town, sound. When you calculate, it's 150. So when you see your transportation for the month is 150, you are the job they are giving you. Don't even have to take drop. You have to take dropping. You have to take dropping. Wow, because your mind is drop. So wait. Let's tell them how much, according to your budget, have you planned for this? And then the Lord will put it in their mouth to say, equivalent of how much in dollars? $5,000. $6,000. Sorry? $10,000. Well, are you afraid of the money? they will say that we are given equivalent of this. Hallelujah. And then you see that you break through. So they said it. A coincidence, perhaps. But Hannah believes not that it was a coincidence. That wasn't the only job that came in unexpectedly. May unexpected things happen to you as you pay your tithe. Within weeks of deciding to give away 10% of my storytelling income, that income doubled. And may your income double. That income doubled. The principle has proven to be true in the ensuing years. As long as I tithe, my freelance income is reliable. If I forget, it dries up. Good. I want to give you the source. So, Naomi Mueller, Titan, Jewish Press, September 7, 2001. So when you go, you see that this is something I read to you from a published book that he has made a research from. Amen. So, are you also a chosen generation? Are you supposed to be special? Then from today, follow these special people. One of the things they didn't joke with, they don't play with at all, is tithing. They tithe and has made them special people. Many people have said several things about them, but they don't care. They don't care what you, when you see them, their beard, one year, one year, when you sit on the plane, they are always, I don't know what they are saying, but they are there. They don't care what you think. Whatever you think, they are making it, and you are still sitting here. So keep thinking like that, but they are making it. Amen. You too, do it and be special. In Jesus' name. Put your hands together for Jesus. So, I will not finish preaching without literally forcing you into prosperity. I told you last what Jesus said. I told last week, Matthew 23:23, isn't it? What Jesus said. You get it? That we have to not neglect the weightier matters. Do you get it? And then the weightier matters are what? Judgment, mercy, and faith. So I already have told you that if you don't pay tithe, doesn't mean you won't go to heaven. If you don't pay tithe, doesn't mean that you are not saved. I believe that tithe has nothing to do with your salvation. Do you get it? So all that it means is that you are going to lose some blessings. Is that not so? All that means that you are going to lose some blessings. So I want you to pay your tithe so that you'll be blessed. Amen. Another reason why I'm preaching this is that I found out that a lot of you don't pay tithe. And you are making us pray for nothing. Because if God says you should pay your tithe and I'll bless you, and you don't pay your tithe, we are laying hands on you, we are praying for you, you are making us struggle too much. Do you get it? You should make the job easier for us to do by paying your tithe so that when we pray, God can bless you. You know, when you pray, God can bless. Because if you look at the law on tithing, if you don't pay tithe, you are cursed. We are not under the law. We are living under grace. Do you get it? But with that grace, if you obey this, you'll be blessed. Believe it. Everything I read to you is factual and is based on research. Amen. How many of you think that you have heard a very powerful message? I think so too. Now, I didn't preach about salvation. I preached about tithing. But the Jews say that if you are able to achieve your financial status, it helps you in your spiritual life. As I was preaching, because God is here, you felt in your heart that God is telling you to give your life to Him. God wants to make you one of His special people. He wants to set you aside and make you a unique person. So you want to respond to the love of God and give your life to Jesus. You want to respond to the love of God and give your life to Jesus.
Giovanni said, "Pastor, I want you to pray for me to give my life to Jesus. I want Jesus to forgive me of my sins and wash me with his blood. I want to be able to say that I belong to Jesus. So pray for me. He wants me to pray for you to give your life to Jesus. I told you, tithe will not take you to heaven. It only helps the church to pay financial bills. What is important of you today is your soul. Whether you go to heaven or hell when you die.
Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I come before you just as I am. Have mercy on me. Forgive me all my sins. Forgive me all my sins. With my heart, I believe that Jesus died for me. And with my mouth, I confess that from today, I will live for Jesus. I will serve you, Jesus. Say, I love you, Jesus. I want to live for you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayers. Amen.